I love these guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. I'm here with my great friend, John Drennan. I'm Bill Radford, and we're here to talk about the new offensive coordinator the Lions have hired, Drew Petzing, along with talking about some of the playoff games of the last weekend and looking forward to the AFC and NFC championship games. But John, I know you've been doing some digging on this new OC. So why don't you start off with what do you think?
Yeah, great to be here with you, Bill. And so I want to start with, before I jump down here, I heard a brief podcast segment with Amon-Ra St. Brown saying that, okay, Lions fans, I love you, but some of you just got to cool your jets, relax, because there's a lot of people. I'd never heard of Drew Petzing. I knew the Cardinals have been bad for years. I knew his name wasn't mentioned among the so-called experts that I've been paying attention to.
Right.
However, my first reaction wasn't, oh, these stupid Lions. It was, okay, let's find out about this guy. And the more I learn, the more I like it. What I've learned, and my sources, Bill, have been just listening to people associated with the Cardinals, people who have worked with this guy over the years, including the head coach of the Vikings and, you know, many people. He's got a long list of on his resume. He's coached virtually every position group in an offense. He's been doing it a long time. He's recognized as someone who does great with tight ends. The Cardinals tight end was really the best tight end in football this year, in spite of playing on the team that he played on. And the info page on Petzing is that he's very strong in the run game, very good with tight ends, very good with play action, and that all fits well with Dan Campbell and Jared Goff and the Lions. And you know, he had one really good receiver in Arizona with Marvin Harrison Jr., who really hasn't, I think, been that great given what he was in college. He's going to have, you know, a great receiving room in Detroit. So those are some of my initial thoughts. What about you? What's been your process? You probably hadn't heard of him either.
No, I haven't. And the thing we have to realize is that's usually the case. I mean, I never heard of Dan Campbell before they hired him. I never heard of Ben Johnson before he was considered the all-world offensive coordinator. The names I had heard of that were being considered was Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins head coach that was let go, and Brian Daboll, that was fired mid-season by the Giants. Those guys would have been splashy hires. But one of the things that the Lions seem to be concerned about is they didn't want a one-and-done offensive coordinator. And that's what you might get with Mike McDaniel. I mean, he was a head coach, had some measure of success, and then if he goes – he's going with Los Angeles Chargers now. If the Chargers end up going 13-4 and make it to the AFC championship game and have a real good year on offense, he's going to get offered a head coaching job after next year. So I think the same is true for Brian Daboll. It just seems like the Lions were looking for somebody that this wouldn't be a stopping point or a stepping stone. So hopefully this Drew Petzing will be great and he'll be here a while.
Yeah, and those are great points, Bill. And he's 38 years old, you know, so, and he's been an OC for 3 years, so he's used to play calling. So I do think that, you know, the idea has been thrown out there constantly that Dan Campbell might want to keep calling the plays, and I don't think that at all. I think the sooner they get him away from that, the more he can manage a game and have a guy he can count on like a Ben Johnson to call the plays. So Those are good points.
Yeah, and this we were talking before we came on, with 10 coaching vacancies this year, which is nearly a third. It's one away from being a third of the coaches in the NFL. I'm reminded that head coaches in the NFL are closer to losing their job every year than they are keeping it.
This year sure proved that, didn't
Yeah.
it?
And some of these are real head scratchers. I mean, Mike Tomlin, he stepped down of his own accord. But John Harbaugh has been a winning coach and a Super Bowl champion. Sean McDermott has a winning record every year, and they're in the playoffs every year. I mean, these are records that if the Lions had these records, we would be toasting champagne all the time.
Yeah, Bill, you just mentioned three teams that have been literally in playoffs for years and years. All
Right.
three of them. Winning records. The Tomlin with the Steelers has been the guy that's gotten in there just year after year after year and then not won a playoff game, but kudos that he's even gotten in there. I mean, at the start of this year, would you have thought the Steelers were going to win their division? And I mean, I might have said maybe, but he stepped down. You got to wonder, did he step down just because he's tired of it? Just tired of hearing the yakking. So,
Well, he's
but.
making, I think he was making close to $20 million a year. So he can certainly afford to take some time off.
Yeah, and he could get hired in a heartbeat. I don't know if he's going to come back this year. There's rumor of him going in the announcing booth. Those guys make a pretty buck too, and I think he'd be great in the booth. But you and I were talking about those three teams, the Bills, Ravens, Steelers. My comment is, well, good luck finding a coach that's going to outperform the ones they've had. So what a crazy business.
Well, the thing with Tomlin is he's since he stepped down himself, he's still under contract or control of the Steelers for the next 2 years. So if he did take a job with another team, it would cost that team draft picks.
Okay, got it.
So
Well, probably see him in the booth.
probably or not see him on the coast of Oahu.
But Bill, you mentioned 10 teams, so the Giants have hired John Harbaugh. I think that's going to be great for them. The Falcons have hired Kevin Stefanski, who's spent about, I don't know, 8 years or so with the Browns, twice coach of the year. The Bills, Ravens, Steelers still are open. The Dolphins got Jeff Hafley, who was the defensive coordinator from the Packers. I gotta believe that's gonna help the Lions. I think he probably was a strong coordinator there for the Packers. The Titans hired Robert Saleh, who was the Jets coach a few years ago. It lasted 2 or 3 years. This year he was back as a coordinator for the 49ers. Then the Cardinals, Raiders, and Browns are open. Now, I'm making these points for a reason. All these new coaches are going to be looking to say, okay, who's my offensive coordinator? Then, in the meantime, some of the offensive coordinators from this year are being looked at as head coaching jobs at one of these other places. Then you got names, the guys that might be out there, Mike McCarthy, there's talk of him coming back. He coached for years in the NFL, the Packers, the Cowboys. You got Sean McDermott out there, so got Mike McDaniel, and what a turnover year.
Yeah, I think Mike McDaniel, at least the reports are, he's going to take the OC job with the Chargers.
I've heard that as well. And then you got Brian Daboll out there. Is he still a potential head coach?
Have you heard that Kelvin Shepherd is interviewing?
I heard he interviewed with the Dolphins, so he's not going to be hired there as head coach. I
Right.
haven't heard of any other specifics, but I know the, and I think some of this, like I heard a podcaster and I agreed with this saying they might have just wanted to get face to face with him because they know he's got a big future in the game and they want to get to know him. And, that's part of it is you want to be grooming the potential to connect back with these guys when the time is right. And people speak very highly of Calvin Shepard.
Yeah. Well, part of it too is the Rooney Rule is, are you familiar with that?
I've only heard of it, can't state it.
So, when there's a head coach opening, I think you have to rule, you have to interview at least one minority candidate.
Oh, yeah. Is that called the Rooney Rule?
Yeah.
And that's because he did that?
That's because he's the one who put that forward at an NFL owners meetings years ago,
Yeah.
and that passed. And of course, they had Mike Tomlin's black coach, and he's been there 19 years. It's amazing. I think he's 53, which just stunned me because he's been there 19 years. He was younger than some of my kids
No, you're right. You're
when he
right.
got hired.
Good point.
So, yeah, I don't know what they're looking for. I mean, you understand some of these teams. I understand Cleveland, even though Stefanski was coach of the year twice, he didn't suddenly not know how to coach. Yeah, obviously because he's been hired by another team. But the Cardinals, the Raiders, that Pete Carroll experiment went south in a hurry.
Yeah, you're right. And there's another Hall of Fame coach that's not here this year. Now, I get he was up in age and maybe just, as you said, it maybe was an experiment. And that one didn't shock me, but the wisdom of that guy, who are they going to replace him with? And we'll find out
Right.
soon.
So, well, it'll be interesting to see. I hope Drew Petsing is better than Ben Johnson was. That'll be hard to do, but he's going to have some tools to work with.
Yeah,
I
and
was lucky.
if he does as well as Ben Johnson, I'm happy as can be. And
I was looking at the overall PFF scores. I just saw this was post that I read this morning that the Lions had several players, I think it might have even been 10, who were in the top 10 of PFF grades for the league.
in their
So
position.
in their position, right.
Yeah. Does not surprise me, Bill. I've been bragging on their roster all year.
Which, that brings us, of course, to the head scratching quandary of how the heck was this team 9-8?
Well, let's talk about that. And let's talk about, I will. When I go back to our first podcast, the beginning of the year, I said, we got a challenge replacing coordinators, but maybe the two new ones will be even better. And after the first game against the Packers, I thought we're in trouble here, especially with Johnny Moe. But then after we beat the Ravens on the road and shellacked the Bears, I thought we're okay here offensively. Well, Johnny Moe wasn't the right guy. That became obvious. And to me, the most obvious thing was how J-Mo disappeared for about three games, was not used at all. I mean, I could hardly watch it that they weren't getting him the ball. But anyhow, okay, so we got a new OC. So what's next? And to me, what went wrong this year is we didn't have an O line that ever was in sync. So can Petsing help with that? Hopefully. Can getting a good center and free agency help big time? Can getting guys healthy help? Yes. Can getting a tackle in the draft and maybe in free agency help? Yes. So I think the answers, everybody knows what they are, and the Lions got to get it done.
John, I just can't help but think that in some of these games, the Lions, and it's a natural human response, you're 15-2. The year before, you were a breath away from going to the Super Bowl. I think they were dismissive of some teams. I don't think that team should ever have lost to Minnesota. Twice.
Yeah, which one? The
Right.
first or second?
Both of them.
Yeah,
Is it, it's
absolutely.
it was it was beyond me how a team with that talent could lose to Minnesota and to lose to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was not a good team, and I know there was a terrible call at the end that probably cost them the game, but it shouldn't have been that close.
Absolutely. And to lose to the Eagles, even though it was such a good team, because we go 0 for 5 on fourth down, and in bad weather, had we kicked field goals, we'd have won the game. Had we
Right.
punted and kicked field goals, we'd have won the game.
And it seems to me, you and I have talked about the Dan Campbell syndrome that's gone league wide now with these fourth downs. And the recent failures of team going for it on fourth down, that might end pretty quick
Well, and
because.
Bill, you've nailed this all year where you've said Campbell thinks he's coaching last year's team. I mean,
Right.
last year he could get away with it more. And you mentioned it's in the NFL. I think that's also in college games, you see a lot more of it. My guess
Right.
is if I started going out Friday nights to high school games, I'd see more of it. I just don't go to those. And
Right. Well, yeah, last year it would be fourth and goal from the 4-yard line, and we would run and run it right into the end zone.
right.
This year,
But
if we
what was different this year? No Sam Laporta to line up with Brock Wright behind Penei Sewell to help open a hole for David Montgomery.
And no Kevin Zeitner and no
Right.
Glasgow.
And Zagna or
Ragnow.
Ragnow. Thank you.
Yeah,
So yeah.
Glasgow we had. Ragnow we didn't.
Right.
So.
Well, Bill, what'd you think about so this last weekend? I went 2-2. You went 3-1 on the picks. Let's start. We both picked the Rams over the Bears, but wasn't
That
quite
was
the game
lucky.
which I remember saying this is the easiest one to pick, the Rams.
Right.
But what about Caleb's touchdown throw running backwards, three defenders running at him? Athletically, there might not be another quarterback in the league other than Josh Allen who could have made that throw.
Right. That reminded me of the old Phillies quarterback, Randall Cunningham. He could just do absurd stuff like that. Remember one time he fell down, held himself up with his hand, stood back up, and threw a touchdown pass. Patrick Mahomes does some crazy stuff, but that might be the, considering that it was fourth down, that it's a playoff game, that if they don't get a first down, they're going to lose.
Oh, it was
And
the game's over if they don't complete that.
right. He runs backwards 20 yards. I mean, he threw it from his own 41-yard line, and I think they were about the 20-yard line when the play started. And it went 5 yards deep in the, so he threw it 46 yards while he's running backwards and jumping in the air. And he was accurate.
Well, and here's the other thing. When he throws it up, I'm asking myself, is this going to be intercepted, batted down? Is some fan going to catch it? Is the wind going to blow it into the. And the guy catches it. I'm like, how could he be that open? And then you saw he pushed off. And but I'm glad they didn't call it just because it was so amazing. But there was a little offensive Not blatantly obvious, oh my God, but definitely a push there.
Well, that reminded me of a playoff game with Green Bay and Detroit, where Detroit's ahead. I think they were ahead 4 or 5 points. And there's less than a minute to go, and Brett Favre scrambles around. And for some reason, they didn't guard Sharp. I don't remember if it was Sterling or Shannon. I think it was Sterling Sharp.
Yeah.
Favre is on the complete left side of the field going in. We're about 30 yards out. Sharp is standing by himself in the end zone on the right side of the field, and he throws him a touchdown pass. And it's the same thing. How could it be that open?
Yeah. Well, so that one, Bill. And then how about this? You and I both picked the Bills over the Broncos. Now, we knew the Broncos won the division and so on. And, they're very good. But we just both felt like the Bills, it's their year. And I kind of look at the interception by the Broncos that was in question, kind of like the Lions-Pittsburgh scenario in that looking
Right.
at that. I think the Bills got robbed there.
Certainly make the case, and there was a very similar play to that. I think it was in the Bears game. And they gave the Rams the catch.
Yeah, you're
When
right. And Bill, there were two of those in back-to-back games this year where the Lions were the benefactors, where their defender got ended up with the ball. They were similar, but I didn't feel as close as what this one was. I think both those lines, you looked at it and said, nah, he that was a pick.
Right, but I don't know what else you have to do to catch. He caught the ball. He landed on the ground with the ball in his possession.
Yep.
And then the other guy wrenched it away from him and came up with it. I don't know how you don't call that a catch.
Yeah, and Bill, we've talked about it throughout this season. The officiating this year, too many times, it's been problematic throughout the league. And I think they got to come up with something where maybe the folks in New York watch every play and say, guys, we're sending you to the monitor. Here's what we see. And even be able to overrule. And I don't think there's a conspiracy. I just think officiating is super hard. The speed of the game, making a judgment. Sometimes their angles aren't great. And even the replays, sometimes you scratch your head after they do or don't overturn a call. So something's got to be
Well,
done. It's
the
too
one thing about
important.
that, John, is they do review all turnovers.
I knew that.
So that was called an interception, so they reviewed it.
That's right.
But I don't know how they came up with the conclusion they did. Whereas in the Bears game, it was called a catch, so it's not reviewable unless Ben Johnson is willing to throw his flag.
Right.
But yeah, those plays were too similar for them to be called differently.
So anyhow, Bill, those games, you and I got it right with the Rams over the Bears. We both got it wrong with the Broncos beating the Bills. You picked what was the other? Well,
I
the
picked
one
Patriots.
you picked Patriots. I knew it was a stretch for me to pick the Texans. I picked them on the strength of their defense and the potential of their offense, but their offense was horrible. Their turnovers were horrible, and I knew that could happen. So you went with the favorite there, and then Seattle pummeled.
San
How soon
Francisco.
we forget.
Yeah, the 49ers.
Oh, yeah. So that
Well,
leaves us.
we both pick Seattle.
Right. So we're 8-2 out of 10 playoff games. Pretty good. Really good. So we
Yeah.
got two coming up this weekend, Bill. Rams, Seattle, Broncos, Patriots. We haven't discussed our picks. Who are you picking for the Rams at Seattle?
I'm picking Seattle.
Me too.
I just think if both teams play to their capabilities, Seattle's better.
And who do you pick with the Patriots at the Broncos?
I'm going to surprise you here. I'm picking the Broncos.
Well, that is no surprise. So am I.
You are,
I
even with the
am.
backup quarterback.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I totally forgot about that. I'm picking the
McDaniel.
Patriots. I did forget that. I even said to you or somebody after he got hurt, Broncos are now done. Now, I don't say that lightly. Broncos are very good. They have a great coach, and I'm sure they've got a decent backup quarterback. Maybe a Kyle Allen or better. But I just think the Patriots, with that advantage, go in and win. But it's not a given.
Well, I'm reminded of the and granted it happened during the season, but Nick Foles was a backup quarterback that won the Super Bowl for the Eagles against the Patriots. I wasn't impressed with Drake May against the Texans. I mean, I think he turned it over three or four times. And if he does that against the Broncos, they won't win.
Well, it's a big stage for Drake May, but think about the Broncos backup who probably hasn't played 10 plays this season. And I don't know who he is, and I'm commenting based on just how good I think Bo Nix is. Bo Nix and Drake May, both those guys just impress me so much.
Well, I was watching Good Morning Football this morning, and they were talking about Jared Stidham, and they said when can't think of the coach's name right now for Denver.
Sean McVay. I'm sorry, not Sean Payton.
Yeah, when Peyton got to Denver, the first person he signed, he wanted Jared Stidham. So he had a lot of confidence in him. He's been with them as the backup. He knows all the plays. He knows the offense. And as one commentator put it, Jared Stidham is not going to pee down his leg because he's in a playoff game. So.
Well, that's info right there. And Peyton's first year, Russell Wilson was the starter, so he was looking ahead there to back that up. And of course, then got rid of him and Bo Nix. What a great pick!
So, this after this weekend, we've got one game left, Super Bowl. So I'm picking the Broncos and the Seahawks, which are
You
both in
meant the
number one.
Patriots. Oh, I'm sorry. You did pick the Broncos.
Yeah,
You did surprise me. Okay.
Broncos and Seahawks, they're both the number one seeds. And I'm sure if that's the case, I'll pick the Seahawks to win.
Yeah, after last weekend, my pick was Seahawks to win it all, no matter what.
But if the Rams beat them, I think they could win it.
And the Rams are certainly capable of beating them. And that's the way it should be when you get to the
That's
conference
right.
championship, for
That's right.
sure.
There's no gimmies at this point.
That's right. All right, Bill. Well, we're going to come back on here next week. We know there will be new news. We talked about what's next for Lions and, talked about the center and offensive line, but also they right now are without a tight ends coach. And there's a chance a couple of their other coaches will get plucked away. And so we're going to keep looking at that. And we're
Free
going to,
agents could be signed.
we're going to
Yep.
start learning more about just draft picks. I know that comes in April, but between free agency and the draft, all kinds of tumblers are going to be falling here.
You want to mention briefly the college football championship game?
I thought Miami was going to win that one, even after watching Indiana just torch teams this year. And that was all based on not knowing much about Miami, but how they had just been beating on teams in the playoffs. But kudos to Indiana. We're familiar with them being Michigan fans all these years, and it's good for the old Big Ten. It's good for Indiana. It's good for the Midwest, and they were definitely deserving. Those are some of my guys. And they got a lot of guys that are going to play on Sunday coming off that roster.
Yeah, they do. I thought Indiana would win just based on the fact that they shellacked Alabama and Oregon. But it was a close game, and Mendoza made the play of the game on that quarterback keeper with fourth and four on about the 11-yard line. Ended up scoring, block punt. It's amazing what Cignetti has done, though. He started when he took over the losingest college football team in history, in the Big Ten anyway. And in 2 years, they've gone 30-2.
Oh, it's been incredible. Maybe the most incredible turnaround we've ever seen, certainly at that level. But here's a question I have for you, Bill. Could he have even come close to that in the days of no portal and no NIL money?
Probably not.
Yeah, it's a new day in college football for sure. And speaking of that, I'm very high on the new Michigan coach from Utah. They've had guys hit the portal but come back and say, no, I like what I see. I'm staying. They've picked up some really good players. They've picked up some great players from Utah, which I guess is to be expected. And I think the Michigan Wolverines are going to be a handful next year and beyond.
I think I agree, and I hope so.
Yep.
Well, folks, thanks for being with us again. This is not what we expected. We thought we'd be talking about the Lions going to the NFC Championship game. They didn't make the playoffs, so we're still talking about football.
And if you're new to Secondhand Lions or newer and never went back and heard our first podcast, go back, listen to the very first one, 23 minutes, hear our procrastinate, our pro, what's the word? Pro,
Prognostications.
thank you, pronunciation. And, we were on and off, but that's to be expected. But what we did state is we're here as two fans to take the trip to the Super Bowl. So it wasn't this year, so we're not going anywhere. Lions are building to a Super Bowl.
We'll see you all next week.
Take care. Bye for now.
Bye.